So the second half of Romans deals specifically with the Christian victorious life and explains to us what should take place as a result of being saved, as a result of being justified, as a result of having the Holy Spirit living in us because of what God has done. These now are instructions that are laid out from chapter 12 all the way through the end of this book. And we have noted the relationships that he brings up already. With whether that be with government, whether that be with a lost world, whether that be with each other in the church. We've been working through those. And Paul, in a very interesting way, an intriguing way, sort of just intertwines all these different relationships that we have in this life as believers. Our relationships are so important that we live out our relationships that we have for the glory of God. And the Lord's given us instruction for that. I hope that we are always striving to have good relationships. I know that in many times because of sin and different reasons, relationships get strained. But as we learned in chapter 12, it is God's people's goal to with all that is within us. In other words, with all that is possible, we should try to live peaceably with all men. That's the best we can do. Sometimes it will not be possible. We understand that. But with God's help, we will try. Amen? We will try to be that light and example. And now, as we move in from last week, we talked about how important it is for God's people to wake up and to be stirred for revival. That was the end of chapter 13. How it is now time. It is the time to be the light in the night, the armor of light, and to put off this ungodliness, because it was obviously in the church in Rome. So Paul is dealing with it. He said, don't let that stuff be named among you. Walk honestly, not the carousing and the drunkenness and the immorality, the sensuality, the strife and envying. That's the idea of bickering. He said, listen, church, that's not you anymore. That used to be you, but it's no longer you. You are new, a new creature in Christ. And then he says in verse 14, of course, of chapter 13, he says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. We talked about self-control in Sunday school this morning. That's the idea. We don't give forethought to give in to this flesh. We actually do the opposite. We give forethought to yield to the Spirit of God so we don't fulfill those sinful desires that are in each of our hearts. Everybody's got them here in this room tonight. Everybody has got them. But we got to learn to combat them. Amen? Amen. But then he goes to chapter 14. And now he's going to talk about an interesting relationship concerning gray areas of the Bible. And it is so important for a healthy local church to understand how we ought to deal with areas of Scripture that are not spelled out explicitly in detail of what we don't do and what we do do. All right? What we are not to participate in and what we are to refrain from. There are some things in Scripture that are not clear. And so Paul's going to deal with that in chapter 14. Now, I'm just going to give somewhat of an introductory message tonight. But I think it's very important that this as a church. I wish everybody in our church could hear this message. That's why I encourage people to come on Sunday nights. I believe the messages that we have here are going to help us to be healthier as a local assembly. And maybe the ones that don't make it here on Sunday night will hopefully listen to these messages. Because God wants us to really focus in on how we can have a healthy local church and understand that we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. That's just the liberty that God wants us to have towards each other, but to still love one another. to still pray for one another, to still encourage one another. So let's begin reading. Chapter 14, he goes and says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." That's basically just arguing over frivolous things. He says, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." I encourage you to underline that. That's foundational. It says in verse 6, "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. And he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your grace in our lives. And as we look at this passage, please, Holy Spirit, teach us, help us, grow us, mature us. And Lord, help us to just experience revival in our lives as we yield to you. Thank you for what you're going to do through this message tonight in my own heart and in the hearts that are here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of tonight's message is this: Consider One Another Where the Scriptures Are Silent. Consider one another where the Scriptures are silent. You see, an overview of this chapter, of the 14th chapter, deals with a controversy that was in the church. The controversy in the Roman church. Paul is going to address the conflict and that are between those who basically adhered to certain personal convictions regarding their dietary laws, the things that they were eating, and also their observing of special days. So there was conflict. And the greater principle and truth that we're going to find in this chapter is that God's people ought not to criticize brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, of whom they do not completely agree, especially in matters which do not involve clear-cut instruction from Scripture. There's got to be a forbearance. In other words, there are going to be issues that we come to in our life, even in this church, where we have to be led of the Lord. In fact, I will say this without any hesitation. I believe this chapter is an overflow from chapter 13, verse 8. Look at verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath" what? "Fulfilled the law." So what we have here, we have a follow-up of that very challenge, that what we do with our standards, our convictions, our guidelines as believers, we should do all with a motivation of a love for God and a love for one another. And that's what Paul is going to bring out here. Some of these areas were doubtful, and that idea were doubtful, again, they were gray areas. This may be due to their different backgrounds. You had Jews who had been saved out of Judaism. They, from the time they were born, growing up in the home, they were all accustomed to the Jewish Mosaic ceremonial laws and the dietary laws. And when they got saved, there were certain Jews that were like, I'm not going to stop doing that. I know I'm saved. I know I'm depending on Christ and Christ alone. But I'm still going to honor these dietary laws. There was nothing wrong with that. That was between them and the Lord. And Paul was pointing that out. As long as they were not seeking to add that to their salvation. And there were people doing that. But if it's something they wanted to do just to honor their tradition and whatnot, it was okay. But then you also had another group. You had a group of the Gentiles that had been saved out of paganism where they offered their animals to pagan gods. And these Gentiles that got saved, they're like, I am not even getting close to that meat right there. I can't stand that. That's sin. I don't want anything to do with that. That was offered to idols. So you had that group of people too. And so Paul is dealing with some people that didn't have a problem with either one. There were Jews that got saved and said, hey, where's that barbecue sandwich? Praise God. But there were some that just, they had a clear conscience. They could eat all meats by giving thanks for it. And it was okay. And then there was also Gentiles. Where a animal that was offered to a pagan god, they would say, hey, I realize that doesn't mean anything to me. That's just meat. We'll give thanks for it. I don't believe in that anymore. I don't follow that anymore. I don't have any problem with it. So here you got these different groups of people with these different guidelines and opinions. And you know what? There was some conflict. They were judging one another. They were looking down on each other. They were criticizing each other. It was coming from both sides. And so Paul's right and said, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to give you some instruction how to handle those types of situations. And they still exist here in 2024 among believers. And we are to work through them. And that's some of the things I want to point out here as we look at that. Now, again, doubtful are gray areas. But it is clear that as we get through this chapter as a motivation of love, we are never, ever under any circumstance to do things purposefully in a way that's going to be a stumbling block to another believer. Because that's not out of heart of love, is it? When we just think about self and not the other person, we'll get to that. But that is something that Paul will deal with. And believers, we all must take steps to even limit where there is liberty, if necessary. And believers that take a more conservative position in a gray area must not impose their standard on others. Listen, let me explain something here because I believe there's some confusion on this. You can't call someone a legalist that has high standards. That's not fair, folks. That's not right. If they have a high standard, they are not legalists. What happens when a person becomes a legalist is that when they have some personal standards, okay, whatever it might be, and then they consider you in sin because you're not doing those specific things. You're in sin. That's legalism. Okay? But it's okay for people to have high standards. And high guidelines. But here, it's okay for somebody to be lower than you. And what's happening, Paul is saying here, look, you got to learn to be forbearing and understanding of one another and be accepting to one another. In the context, again, this is in the context of gray areas. Because there are areas that are not gray. Believers shouldn't be telling lies. Believers shouldn't be stealing. Believers should be loving God and loving each other. Believers should be forgiving. Believers should be sober-minded. Believers should be seeking to give and bless. And so there are things in Scripture that there is just no gray area. It's spelled out for us. That's not what we're talking about here. Paul's talking about these areas that Satan can try to use to divide the church. He's talking about areas that, again, there's not one side that is absolutely right and the other side is absolutely wrong. It's the word could be used this is amoral. amoral, meaning it's not moral or unmoral. Okay? It's neither. And there are some areas like that, amoral, that he is talking about here as individual guidelines. You see, believers who are free to eat whatever they want should not look down on those who feel that they do not have this freedom. And they are not to judge weak believers as being narrow-minded, because you may have someone has liberty, and what happens is they start judging someone that doesn't have that liberty. Oh, they're just Pharisees. They're legalists. They're so narrow-minded. And you get that, like, that's the idea of being critical, judging. And we're going to get to that judging, not tonight. But the idea is unrighteous judgment. But then you have the flip side. You have those that don't have the liberty, and they are considered weak believers in this context, something that causes them to stumble. What they do is they get critical. They be like, man, those people, they're just so free-spirited. They just do whatever they want. They don't have any guidelines in their life. Da, 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 da. And so what you have is you have both sides that you got to be careful of. Are y'all following me here? Is that right? We have to be understanding that there's a ditch on both sides of that road. And Paul is saying, guard against that. Guard against that. God wants us to be governed by His love for one another. And I believe the foundation of chapter 14 deals not necessarily with all the ins and outs of what we can eat and not eat, or what days we celebrate and whatnot. I don't think that's the main context. The main context is, what is our attitude towards one another in areas that we may not agree? And we have got to be mature believers where we do not criticize each other. Because I think you're in sin because maybe you don't do what I do. That's not what God's people should be known for doing. Strong believers are to receive the weaker brothers and sisters, but not for the purpose of correction and argument. It's to receive them. That's what he says here. Receive him. You see that in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So that word is just be accepting. Don't try to correct him and tell him why, no, you shouldn't believe that. You shouldn't take that stand. No, God says, no, don't do that. Just come together and don't focus in on those gray areas. Be respectful of one another. And we're going to learn that later on in the chapter, how we can respect and not be a stumbling block. Neither are weak believers to condemn stronger ones because of the freedom they enjoy. God accepts both types of believers. And I just find that so interesting how we see the Lord here. The Lord doesn't take any sides. He's going to say here in just a moment that, look, he that is weak in the faith or strong in the faith, he does not eat and he that eats are both acceptable to God. But it's how we handle ourselves with the attitude of the heart is what God cares about. And now let me say this too, and I'll get it more in detail. There are some people out there in the church today that say, hey, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. Well, the Bible doesn't say any such thing. What it's talking about here is we're not to be critical of one another in gray areas. But the Bible gives total liberty on judging when it's explicit sin. You know, the church spells out, like, for instance, if somebody's in adultery, okay, we try to work with that individual, okay, but the Bible says that the church should clearly hold that individual accountable. Not with hatred, but with love, with care, compassion. But there's an accountability there, okay? And we ought to work through that, and there is a judgment. And you could go through all kinds of categories that are spelled out in Scripture there very clearly. If there's gossip in the church, if somebody's gossiping and spreading rumors and talking about things, backbiting, that's specifically prohibited in Scripture. And the Bible says that that should be judged. And we will, with love and compassion. We will confront with the love of Christ. Why? Because the Bible gives us total liberty on judging. But this is not the context of this passage. And they were treating it in that category. And so I just want to be clear on that, because the world says that, oh, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. Well, if it's a violation of the Word of God, we can judge each other. If I'm violating the Word, you can judge me. We have that authority from the Word of God. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to do it for the purpose of restoration and encouragement. And so I will say this, and here as we close just for tonight, Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I'll tell you some areas tonight without getting in the details of them, of some areas that, you know, that we run into as believers that I've seen as a Christian. Let me just name a few here. Areas of difference that many of us probably in this room differ. One of that is entertainment. You may be okay with certain types of entertainment that somebody else beside you is not. I mean, is that not true? Now listen, if you're watching things that are using the Lord's name in vain and it's sexual immorality that is being promoted, no question, that's sin. That's promoting ungodliness. But there are some things out there that are not promoting those things and whatnot, but may to you not be a big deal, but to somebody else may be. Those are the areas where you just give each other liberty. We do that for each other. And so we have to be mindful of that. Some people think about like the movies, you know, well, I don't go to the movies. Well, I go to the movies. Well, that's a gray area. Again, if you're going to watch things that are just clearly just ungodly, that's wrong. But there are movies that are shown at the movie theater that wouldn't be ungodly for a Christian to go to. But it may be an offense to somebody that for them to go to it, because they just wouldn't want to watch the previews or the different things like that. But again, I believe it goes back to understanding there are going to be some areas that are gray. So we have to consider one another with love, don't we? I say this, and I hope I'm not embarrassing anybody here. And if I am, listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I have been in a situation where, you know, even with the show that most, I think, would consider innocent, Andy Griffith, I've come across or heard of people that have a problem with Andy Griffith. Okay, I don't understand that. But, hey, get this. But what Paul's saying here, and the reason they said that is because you never hear God spoke of there. Or, you know, and I'm not getting into, maybe you've seen an episode where Opie prayed. I don't know. But I'm just saying, my point is that we're all going to have different views. But we are motivated by love where we grant that. We don't judge that person. Oh, you don't watch Amy Griffith. What's wrong with you? No. Or neither do we. You watch Andy Griffith? You sinner. Goes both ways. You make the application there. Entertainment. I think of dietary restrictions. Some say, oh, you don't eat red meat. Different things. That's fine. But then if they... You understand that you grant them that liberty. I think of restaurants as a missionary. We would be in churches and whatnot, and I've been around Christians, and it's okay. I understand it. We can't be judgmental, but we may differ on that. But some would not go to a restaurant that served alcohol. Okay. Maybe they were an alcoholic at one time and they go into that environment and it triggers some memories and things. We as God's people ought to grant them that liberty. to separate themselves from that. And it goes both ways. Don't look down on somebody that goes to a restaurant that serves alcohol. It just, I think as God's people, we got to really grow in this. Now, I don't care to sit in the bar area. I ask specifically myself, but that's just me. Some people say, hey, you can see this right now. Okay, we'll eat right there. Yep. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. Those are gray areas, and we respect each other for that. There's, oh boy, this is a big one here. Holidays. Oh, you bring up the subject of holidays with Christians. Oh my word. Christmas? Christmas tree or no Christmas tree? Stockings? Celebrate, you know, Saint Nick? Da 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 da. Lights? No lights. What about Easter? Can we get a basket? Can we do eggs? Oh, Halloween. Can we do, Christians do Halloween? Can they go around and dress up and get candy? I want to tell you right now, folks, listen, these are some areas where Christians, even in this church, and Christians in general, are going to differ. And we have to respect each other. You may have an opinion on that, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, as God's people, we seek to honor the Lord and do what we do out of love. And that's what he's going to put here. He says, whatever you do it to honor the Lord. Are you doing what you're doing because you have a motivation to honor the Lord? That's what it says here. As in verse 5 and 6, he says, he that regardeth a day, a special day, he does it unto the Lord. He that does not regard a day, he does it unto the Lord. He that doesn't eat and he that does eat, they both do it with giving God thanks. And so the person here is what I want to say. When I get to one of these gray areas, and I'll close with this point. When I get to a gray area with a brother and sister in Christ, you just make the context in your life, I need as a believer to assume that what they're doing in this gray area, they are doing it as a motivation, if you will. I should assume that they are doing it as unto the Lord. And that helps. I may not do it, but I'm going to assume that they're what they're doing. Because that's what the context is. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. And then that will help me not to be critical and slanderous with my tongue and my thoughts against another dear brother and sister of Christ whom Christ died for. These are gray areas. We'll get into some more of this in later on in the chapter of how the practical ways that we can go through doubtful things. But let's just be loving and forbearing. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight.